Good morning. Our sermon today is about pride in Daniel chapter 5. The word says many times that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Well, this year I really wanted to catch a yellow footer. I see a lot of the young boys going out hunting and I get excited just like them trying to learn to do new things. I never shot a yellow footer before. I was out on the flats one day last week and God brought a couple of yellow footers in his mercy flying real low right over me when I had good cover. I was able to drop both of them. One of them dropped right away and the other one landed across the slough. It was kind of windy out and it landed on the far side of that icy water. And I really wanted to go get that bird. I knew elders say, don't get wet, you know, it's pretty dangerous. I had wilderness first aid training saying, don't get wet, easy to get hypothermia. But in my pride, I thought, oh, I'm a pretty strong swimmer and I'm not too far from home. I think I can make it. So I went swimming for that goose. When I was about halfway across the slough, my body started to go into shock. And then I realized that I might not make it across. I started to get scared and I started praying, Lord, please give me strength to keep going. It was too late to turn back in the wind, because the wind was behind me and there was even a strong current. I don't know how many times you've been in a situation where you've made some dumb decision like I did, and it was then that you decided to pray. Man, I was thinking I should have started praying about whether or not I should get in the water instead of just asking God once I was already in trouble for my decision. But I had too much pride, I guess. I know a few good mechanics who get calls from people when they can't get their motor to run right or run at all. And I know many times from what they've taught me that neglecting maintenance or making mistakes working on the motor or how you run the motor can be pretty hard on it. And if you do preventative stuff, if you ask for advice before you get into that bad situation, it's a lot less expensive and it's a lot easier to solve problems. But I think the biggest problem isn't our mechanical abilities. It's our pride to ask for advice. And same thing I see with couples. A lot of couples come to the pastor or people come to church, you know, when things are really getting bad in their relationship or in life. And if we start coming to church, if we start seeking God's wisdom, if we include other Christians in our deliberations and the choices we're making before things get really bad, we can build a solid foundation. The metaphors are connected to building and having a good foundation and starting with the right materials before you have a mold problem or a leveling problem or cracking problems in your house. But it really applies to every aspect of our lives. And the common thread is that we have too much pride that keeps us from asking for God's help and asking for other people's help before things get really bad. C.S. Lewis writes that pride is a root of all kinds of sin, and I believe that's pretty accurate. There's a lot of biblical evidence for it. And he also says that pride is like bad breath. You're like the last one to know you have it. Everybody else knows you have it before you do. When we read Daniel chapter 5, we see another proud person. It's a lot easier to see it in other people than in ourselves. This is Nebuchadnezzar's son. The last several chapters, the last few weeks, we've been reading about King Nebuchadnezzar and how he conquered Jerusalem. He conquered God's people. He even took the gold cups and all these other things from the temple in Jerusalem that the Israelites used to worship God. He brought everything back to Babylon. He conquered every country that he encountered. And last week we studied about how he actually went insane as he was so proud and he took credit for everything that he did. He ended up spending an extended period of time with the mind of an animal. It was like God's judgment upon him was to let him go insane from his own aspirations of power because he thought he was greater than God. And so he wasn't until he gave glory and thanks and praise to God, just like the animals do, that he was able to have his humanity restored, his sanity restored, and his kingdom restored. And he finally gave thanks and praise to God instead of worshiping false gods, instead of worshiping himself. But just like many of us, his son inherited his power, but also a lot of his bad qualities. He inherited his father's pride, but he seemed to forget the lessons that his father learned when God showed up and taught him things the hard way. C.S. Lewis also points out when he writes about pride that a truly proud person isn't happy about whatever they have or whoever they are. They're only happy when they have more than others, when they're better than others. They always have to win. They always have to have the most and the best. Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's son, and he wanted to prove that he was a badder dude than his dad. He was stronger than his dad. So he threw this great party. In Daniel chapter 5, he invited 1,000 of the rulers of the land, the nobles, the princes. He had his concubines and many wives there. He had a lot of wine, and he got real drunk. And he got real brave when he was drunk. He said, you know, my dad, yeah, he took over Jerusalem, and he proved that the God of the Israelites wasn't as strong as his gods. He even took these cups from the temple in Jerusalem. But you know what? He just put them away in his vault. He just had them in storage. Well, I'm going to show him what a real king looks like. I'm going to drink from those cups from the temple of the God of Israel that were taken from Jerusalem. So he called for his servants to go bring those cups from the vault, and they kept on drinking their wine. It was great disrespect to the living God who created heaven and earth, his boasting and his actions. And on top of that, it says in Daniel 5 that he was praising the gods of gold and silver and iron and bronze and wood. He was praising false gods. He was basically spitting in the face of the living God to show everybody how great he was. Well, suddenly a hand appeared with no body attached, a disembodied hand, and it started writing a message next to the lampstand on the wall in Aramaic. It says that the king dropped his glass, his face turned white. His knees started knocking. You ever hear about people say their knees are knocking? They're so scared. That comes from Daniel 5. Well, this king was so scared. Just like his daddy, whenever his dad had a problem, he asked his advisors and his wise men and his sorcerers and his enchanters to come in and tell him, what does this writing on the wall mean? He was scared. He had a crisis, and then he asked for help, just like me when I was in the middle of the slough and didn't know what to do. His dad would threaten people and offer rewards when he wanted something to get done, because he knew what motivated people. We call it the carrot or the stick. Hit your donkey with a stick, or put a carrot in front of them if you want them to move forward. He did the same thing with these guys. And none of them knew what the writing on the wall meant, and they were all terrified of the king in his drunken state. Then the queen remembered Daniel, and she told her husband, you know, Daniel was promoted as the leader of all of these wise men when your father was the king, and he often could help interpret dreams for your dad, so maybe you should call upon him. So the king asked Daniel to come. Daniel said, I don't need the rewards, but he explained that the words meant counted, weighed, and divided. Counted means the days of your reign have been counted and they've come to an end. Weighed means you've been weighed, you've been judged, and you haven't met the mark. And divided means your kingdom will be divided, it will be taken from you. That very night, the king was killed, and his kingdom was divided, and his pride was brought to its natural conclusion. He didn't repent when Daniel gave him this message from God. He didn't turn from his sin or praise the God of heaven like his father had done, but he just gave Daniel some gold, and he ended up being judged by the living God. We all make bad decisions sometimes, and we're blind to a lot of our own flaws and a lot of our own bad choices. We're certainly blind to our pride. Belshazzar didn't learn from his father's mistakes or his own mistakes. He just kept going on the familiar path. in his own life and in the life of his family. It was a path of disrespecting God, path of pride, path of always desiring more, trying to be better than others, have more respect than others, and to prove how awesome he was. He didn't learn from his father's mistakes or his father's punishment or his father's repentance. It was only when his dad repented of his sins and praised God that his sanity and his kingdom were restored. And it's the same thing that happens to us when we repent of our sin. God gives us life. When God's judgment came, he was terrified. And we are terrified of God when we have sin and when our lives are falling apart, if we have no view of the cross, if we have no view of the hope of the resurrection. And I think that's one of the reasons why people give up when things are really bad, when they don't have faith and hope. But when you believe that God has all power, that God loves you and has a good plan for your life, you have no reason to dread the future, to dread tomorrow, or to be afraid. Because you know that Jesus can help you. Today we have hope because God didn't continue sending disembodied body parts to issue statements of judgment to us, to send us his messages. He sent a whole body. He sent his own hands and his own feet. They were attached to the body of his son Jesus. Like Belshazzar, Jesus also followed in his father's footsteps. But they were righteous footsteps, and they were faithful footsteps, and they were footsteps that were sharing the love and the wisdom of God, our King. Jesus died so that even though we're a proud and stiff-necked people, we could be reunited with God and forgiven. By his grace, God answered my prayer, helped me across the slough. He's also forgiven my sins, and he has forgiven many of yours. God gave me the strength to swim across that icy water. He sent two high school guys to help me get back across the slough with their canoe at just the right time. God had a plan. He knew where I was going to be and where my need was. God has a plan for your life too. He knows what your need is this morning. He wants you to help others. And he also wants you to see your pride, to see so that you can repent and have new life. He sent his son to save us. He's put you in the lives of others to help them, but he's also put other people in your life to help you. So we don't have to face this world alone. The Bible teaches we're all like Belshazzar. We're all proud, we're sick, we're sinful. We all disrespect God by the choices we make. And there are two possible outcomes. We can continue down the path of pride and self-destruction and eventually die. Or humble ourselves and ask God for forgiveness and help with every detail of our lives to help us change and start down a new path, a path of eternal life, and to share that gift with others by honoring God, by being faithful as Jesus was faithful, and receiving the free gift of his grace. I pray that you'll accept that invitation this morning and that you will join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I give you all thanks and praise and ask that you would bless and guide each person in our church and in our community and who's joining us for worship this morning. I pray that you'd lead us on a path of life, that you'd continue to speak to us through your word. We thank you for your promises, Lord, that you promised to never leave us or forsake us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.